Can we just glorify him for a moment? I feel the Holy Ghost in this building right now. Lord, I worship your name because you're worthy to be praised. I worship your name because your glory fills this room. God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. I just feel the presence of God in this building right now. I just feel his warmth, his strength. I did not communicate to our band, but I am going to be speaking on greatly to be praised. I didn't give them this, hey, here you go, sing this song. This is going to tie in perfectly. But it's what I'm going to speak on today. He is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, tell him how great he is. Tell him how awesome he is. He's great, Charlotte. He's great. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. I will say this, as a person that gets up and speaks to you every Sunday morning, it is awesome to stand up when I feel the power of the Holy Ghost like this. So sometimes I'm waiting for everyone to, they needed that second cup of coffee, you know, to, we'll get to worshiping at the 11 o'clock service. Isaac's here just to warm us up a little bit, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now, and I believe the Lord's gonna pour out upon us. We've got Brother Williams is gonna be joining us for our 11 o'clock service. Last night we had, for some of us, we were down the road at the Omega Center seeing David Huff and Larry Carter. And my wife said, how was it? How do you describe it? And I said, well, I don't know anything about David and the Giants. I've heard about David and the Giants. I said, but I sat next to a friend that is a little older than me. He's pushing 60. And I said, he was so excited to see David from David and the Giants. And I said, it was about the equivalent if DC Talk came to town and I was going to sit and listen to DC Talk, because it would be like the seventh grader, the eighth grader in me would have been so excited, and I would have been doing the same thing. Oh, this is a jam. Just wait for this moment. And he was awesome. It was very, very awesome. Larry Carter is incredible. If you get the opportunity, there is another concert today at 2 o'clock. I promise you, not my type of music. Not me normally. It was awesome. It was a great, great time. And I would highly suggest you guys get out there. For an 80-year-old, he can still get it done. He was awesome. It was, oh, just go ahead and stare at me. It's cool. You were good. It was a great time. It was a great, great time. Opening our Bibles. Marcus, I think you can turn me down just a little bit. I'm a little echoey hot. So it's my masculine voice. It happens sometimes. my wife says, how are you so loud all the time? She's like, you wake up loud. You sleep loud. You eat loud. Like, what is your problem? I have no idea. It's just, can't help it. The Johnsons are wired that way. Psalms 96:1 says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heavens, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The Lord also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let all the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Before the Lord he cometh, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Psalms 100 verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's worthy of every ounce of praise and adoration we can begin to scrimp together and give him his due diligence for. He is great and greatly to be praised. If you haven't realized, we're going to be talking about praising the Lord. We're going to be talking about giving the Lord honor and the honor that he's so deserving of. If you go and begin to put yourself in this scenario, in this situation, I would like you to think to yourself, how would you handle yourself if you were getting ready to be in the following scenario? How would you be able to praise the Lord if you were in this situation? The story begins that you're a young person and your country is at war. You volunteer to fight, but you're not drafted, so you sign up freely because you believe in the cause. You believe it's worth fighting for. In the very first battle, you become the linchpin. You're the deciding factor that tips the scales in your country's favor. You become the hero of the nation. Upon returning from the battlefield, they throw you a ticker tape parade. You're promoted to general. The crowd begins to chant your name. You are rewarded for your bravery. You marry the woman of your dreams. You buy a home together. You continue to lead your army to victory after victory after victory. You become a household name on the lips of every person across the country. But as your name grows in stature, your leader becomes more and more jealous of your success, becomes more envious of your reputation, and tries to kill you. You barely escape an assassination attempt on your life by sneaking out the window. Your wife has to cover for you while you're on the run and in the wind, hiding out. The manhunt scurries across the city and the countryside looking for you. You lie to your pastor to get him to help you. You end up getting your pastor killed. You're so scared for your life and the lives of your family that you sprint them away to a neighboring foreign country, and you have to completely go off the grid where no one can find you, and you end up camping in a cave. The only bit of help comes by the form of a bunch of misfits, a bunch of bad apples, and a bunch of rogues who start turning up at your cave. Some are dodging debt collectors. Some are thieves, or even worse, murderers in some case. And by all of this, just the virtue of them showing up in front of you, they expect you to feed them, to clothe them, to care for them. The numbers begin to swell and it becomes a logistical problem. Now it's also a whole lot harder to hide out. By the time that you're at this point, you've got 600 of these misfits that have come and invaded your sanctuary, your privacy of your cave. People begin to notice. They start to report you, and now the manhunt is on again. But now you're not just hiding yourself, you're trying to hide 600 of you. You spend years on the run, sleeping in dirt, sleeping on rocks, eating whatever you can find, starving when you cannot find any food at all. You'll live in constant fear as a hunted man. Now, think about the situation and the condition that you're in. How much time and energy would you possibly be able to spend talking about how thankful you are? How could you begin to generate and write praise songs and play your instrument and sing to God? So you might be surprised. Somehow in the midst of running for his life, David composed some of the most beautiful songs that have ever been written in those moments of brokenness. Imagine the nights David spent in the cave, surrounded by his cutthroat band of miscreants, sitting around hungry, grumbling, beginning to complain about their rough conditions. David goes over and he pulls the leather case off his harp and with his calloused fingers begins to strum and begins to sing the same way that he did as a boy as he was watching his father's flock. David begins to sing beautiful melodic notes. Sister Mary, I'd like to think that he was quite the talented singer, that he really could sing. You know, he sounded good. He wasn't me singing on just the whatever note he wanted to sing on in that time. I mean, he was someone that would turn people's head because that's a voice. I say this about my wife, and she's not here, but one of my favorite things in the world is to come home at lunch, and my wife didn't know I was going to come home. A lot of times, my wife is on the piano in our living room, playing and singing. There's something about someone who's anointed. I can be having a terrible day and walk into my home, and I don't know if my wife is just does it, Steve, because she knows it'll calm me down, or if she just doesn't even care, it's just her time to worship. She'll sit down and begin to play and to worship the King. My worries and cares begin to sweep away as I'm ushered into the presence of God. There in that cave, those calloused fingers beginning to rub across the harp. A tear begins to come out of the crease of one of those mighty men's eyes. The hair on their arms begin to stand, not because of the draft, but because of the presence of God ushering itself into that room. For just a little while, maybe their voices begin to blend together. They begin to lift up the Lord's name on high. And that rough, terrible cave, that cave that's wet and damp, becomes as holy as the sanctuary itself. See, it could have been real easy for David to fall into a trap that so many of us do when we face trials and tribulations and troubles in life. David could have easily shook his fist and blamed God for all of the problems that he was dealing with at that point in time. He could have asked God, what are you doing? How could you allow me to be in this situation? Here I am. I'm the hero of Israel. I'm the slayer of Goliath. But now I'm hunted like a dog across deserts and mountains and plains. There are moments that we do see David being just completely heartbroken and honest. There is time where it's okay for you to be honest with God in your brokenness. Look, most of us here have lived for the Lord for a long time. We've questioned, why, God, are you letting us go through these things? We've sat and we've cried. And I'm sure David cried in some moments. That's thinking, why are things going the way that they're going? Why is this happening to me? I am the next king. I'm the anointed one. Yet I'm in a cave, hiding for my life. That's not the way it was supposed to be. That's not what was supposed to happen. I'm in a hospital room with a loved one. They're not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here with them. I'm looking at a bill. I can't pay this bill. I can't fix this problem. It's not supposed to be this way. But regardless about how bad the situation was and how desperate David's situation was, we find him more often than not worshiping God, giving God all of the glory that he possibly can. No matter what the circumstances in his life was, David understood that God was still worthy to be praised. That regardless of how bad his back was against the wall, he's still worthy to be worshiped. That no matter what adversary he's facing, he's still capable of overcoming the trial that's in front of him as long as God is still with him. So all that he desired was to be in the presence of God all times, because he understood the comfort that came from being in the presence of God. He understood the peace that comes in brokenness from being in the presence of God. How did he know that? Because he'd been in some broken moments. How is it that someone, Sister Liz, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. How is it that someone like Sister Liz can still have faith in God through all of the shortcomings and all the ups and downs? Because he's been faithful to her. Because she's experienced brokenness. Because she's experienced loss. Because she's experienced helplessness and understands that regardless of what her situation was, God still shows up when she needs him the most. In the moment of her loneliness, she says the name Jesus and peace fills the room. Comfort comes in the middle of the night where sleep escapes her. She understands checks showing up in the mail. She understands sickness leaving at the name of Jesus. Doesn't mean all the moments were comfortable. Doesn't mean that she was shouting down the streets, "Thank you, Jesus, for this trial." But still, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't comprehend it, but I know that you see me in my brokenness. God, I know that you see me in my trial. This isn't the way that things are supposed to be, but I know all things work together for the good. And I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to continue to honor you and to continue to worship you and give you all of the glory that you're deserving. See, for David, worship was connected by reverence to God. Particularly the fear of God. Psalms 96:9 says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." It's understanding who God is. Verse 4 says, he is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. David saw the fear of the Lord as a positive thing. Since God is so powerful, he's the ally that you need on your side. If God be for me, who can be against me? As long as God's on my side, bring it. God's got it in control. I may get knocked down, but I know God's gonna pick me back up. I may take a few punches, but I understand that God is fighting my battles along with me. Psalms 33:18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear them and upon them that hope in his mercy. Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Even in the cave, David could worship because he was certain that his mighty God would send deliverance just around the corner, that there was deliverance in his situation waiting for him. All he had to do was hold on long enough for God to show up. We live in a fast food society. We live in quick. I want it now. I'll be the first one to admit, I went to get cash out of the Chase ATM and there's two cars there. And I said, I'll just get cash later. We've all went through McDonald's drive-thrus and pulled in thinking I'm gonna get one of those Diet Cokes that just hit the spot so much better than any other Diet Coke in the world. Maybe a hot fry, McDouble, I don't know, I feel fancy. Maybe a nugget. And pull in and see that there's 18 cars in front of you and go, I could do Burger King. I could change that up. Because we don't want to wait. We don't want to slow down. We want it right now. Sometimes we have to wait on the Lord until the Lord shows up, because the Lord is preparing us. He's causing us to have a little bit of patience in the moment. And maybe it's a faith building opportunity where things aren't quite done and they're not lined up in the way that God sees them that they need to be lined up. It is a difficulty that we face. We want God to step in right now on a white horse with a flaming sword and smite our enemies. That's not how the Lord works. Sister Mary, sometimes we have to go through some brokenness and realize that if I go through this brokenness and understand that God's just putting me through some fire and he's trying to purify me, he's trying to take some things out of my life that didn't need to be there. He's trying to humble me. He's trying to put me in a place where I recognize he's the only thing that matters. He's the only one that can supersede what's going on in my life. He takes an impossible situation and makes it possible. Sometimes we're slow learners. Some of us slower than others. Sometimes God's got to really pile it on us to get it to the point where we can't do it by ourselves. We can't make it alone, and we've tried every avenue. But understand and hear me, if you're going through something right now, if you're dealing with something right now, stop trying to deal with it yourself. Stop trying to make it happen on your own way or your own terms. Find a place to pray. Find a place to worship the Lord. Find a place to begin to thank the Lord. God, I know you're trying to purify me. God, I acknowledge that this is not an ideal situation. If we're real honest, God, I know you didn't put me in this situation. I put myself in this situation. I made these choices. I did these things. But now, God, I can't do it by myself. God, I know that deliverance, because you'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, you'll never abandon me in my moment of weakness. God, I'm as weak as it can go, and I can't take any more burden than what you're already put upon me or what I've already put upon myself. God, I need your deliverance. And wait on the Lord, for he'll renew your strength. What we miss sometimes is that all of creation worships the Lord. All creation points to a creator. All creation worships the Lord with a single possible exception: humanity. Humanity alone, out of all of God's creation, has free will whether we decide to worship him or we decide not to worship him. The sun shines forth God's glory. The moon reflects God's glory. The stars remind us of God's glory and all the infinite majesty that was God's glory. The intricacies of plants and how plants work and what animals do and what they're capable of doing and the landscape around us point to God's immeasurable wisdom and the creative genius that is God. Literally, all of these functions involuntarily worship God. There is only one creature on the face of this earth who can refuse to worship God, and that creature is you and I. Everything else is designed to reflect the glory of God. As the flowers bloom in, they're to honor God. It's the perfect fish in the sea that are rainbow colors and leave you in awe or reflect the glory of God. If you've ever seen images, a few months ago, I put images up from the Hubble telescope about different galaxies and different stars, and it doesn't look real. But the way that the Milky Way is spread across and all of the stars, it's all built by God, created to worship him and the greatness of his glory. Yet the greatest praise that we could ever be given to God is the praise that comes out of my lips and comes out of your lips. Why is it so great? Because it's voluntary. Do I worship him? Or do I not worship him? Worship comes from a willing heart that's overwhelmed with the greatness and majesty of God, that can't keep it trapped up inside. The worship that comes from us means more to God than all of creation put together. It's more valuable for the words that come out of your mouth when you say, "Thank you, Jesus," than the sun that rises from the horizon. It's more powerful to say, "I love you, Lord," than an animal to roar in the middle of the day. It's more powerful when we come into the place that we begin to praise the Lord. He rejoices in our praise. He loves every bit of praise that we can give him. Every part of creation does all that it possibly can to worship. The sun shines as bright as it can. The birds sing as beautifully as they possibly can. The flowers bloom in the most glorious color that they can muster. Let us do the same exact thing. If you can sing, sing with all of your heart. If you can't sing, sing anyway. If you can play an instrument, play with all of your ability and all the skill that you can muster. If you can do anything, give glory to God. If you have strength in your legs, dance. If you have strength in your legs, shout. If you have air in your lungs, worship. Why? Because it's the greatest gift that we've ever been given. It's the greatest possibility that we ever have to raise our voices and to give adoration to the one who sits on the throne. Why do we do it? Because he's worthy to be praised. He He's done so much for me. Worship Him with everything that we possibly can do. Psalms 96:4 says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised." I know it's 10 a.m. I know we haven't had worship service yet, Sister Thacker. I haven't tapped my toe enough. They haven't played the right song. The pastor hasn't preached yet. I don't feel it. First of all, if you're dictating your praise on the right song, the right tempo, the right sermon, the right scripture to be read, guess what? It's never going to be the right one. Your praise should not be dictated by what song is sang or by what moment is brought or by who's preaching or who's leading worship. Your praise should be dictated on the fact that He's simply worthy to be praised, that He's done so much for you that you cannot tell it all. Much has been written and said about the differences between worship and praise. They're very closely related. They're intertwined. They're interchangeable. Some say worship is what we do because of who God is. And praise is what we do in the response of what God has done. Others would say that worship is directed towards God, and it's for God alone so He can hear our worship. And that praise is for others so that others can hear what God has done. Either way, whether you're a worshiper or you're a praiser, He's worthy of all of the praise. He's worthy of all the worship that we can give Him. David made this connection between praise and the other people when he wrote, "Declare His glory among the heathen, wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations." He's worthy to be praised. Why is it so important that you worship Him and that you praise Him? The argument can be said, talked about, that worship is my inward, my daily life. I worship the Lord and how I look, how I handle things, how I deal with stress in the daily life. Praise is what I do in the outward aspect of me giving glory to God and me giving honor to God. I had a conversation with someone years ago that I was trying to help them in the ministry and helping them do things. And I said, the one thing I want you to do, if you're going to help us, the one thing I want you to do is I want you to set an example of being a worshiper. I said, I want you to set an example for our young people to be a worshiper. You know, there's two times to worship Him, when you feel like it and when you don't. So I want you to be a worshiper. Person said, I'm not much about that. What? I'm not, I worship Him with my daily life. I'm like, what? Everything that I do, I worship Him. I'm consumed by Him. If that were true, and you were consumed by the presence of God, and you were worshiping Him with everything that you did, the moment that you walked into a church building, your worship in your daily life would transition to outward praise, and it would transition to outward exuberance of, I've got a fire inside my bones because He's worthy to be praised, and I'm truly going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. When I come into the house of the Lord, I got to let Him know He's great, He's mighty to be praised. Some of you have forgot what it is to worship and praise. This is the conviction part. Some of you forgot what it feels like to have a fire shut up in your bones. That first time when you came to an altar, Sister Barb, and the Holy Ghost came upon you and you began to come to the Lord with fear and trembling, but you've become content in being in the presence of God. You've become nonchalant in your worship and your praise. We cannot be nonchalant in our worship. We cannot be nonchalant in our praise. Why? We don't serve a nonchalant God. We serve a mighty, powerful God. We serve a God who's great.
Well, Brother Johnson, you don't understand. I might get sweaty. Well, Brother Johnson, you don't understand. I'm not really much of a worshiper. I'm an introvert.
Say it for me one more time so the cheap seats can hear it, Pastor. Praise the Lord. I want you to do a little something real quick. Breathe. I was just waiting for someone to pass out. They're like, that's okay, that person doesn't have to, but we're going to call an ambulance. If you've got breath in your lungs, you've got a reason to praise. It doesn't matter how introvert, how dignified, how wonderful you are, how perfect you are. First of all, if you're perfect, you don't belong here. Because the church is not a place for perfect people. The church is a place for some broken people. The church is a place for some people that seen the price of brokenness, yet have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They've been restored by His goodness. They truly understand that I know what grace and mercy looks like. I understand what grace and mercy is, because if we're honest, none of us deserve to be here. But because of His grace and mercy is why I'm here now. We praise Him because He's worthy to be praised. There's times, I'm 40, almost 41 years old. I know this is going to shock nobody but Pastor. I wasn't always perfect. I came to church, I played the part, I looked handsome, I was put together, I worshiped, I did my thing, and then I walked out the door and was a different person. My worship wasn't sincere worship. If someone came and contacted me with Sister Melinda, they might find me on a bad day where I wasn't a true representation of Christ. I can say before you now, I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy that He never called me when I wasn't ready, that He didn't call and make my name when I wasn't in a place where I needed to be. But I found that the greatest thing that I can ever do is worship the Lord with all that I possibly am. We were talking to our worship team yesterday. We were having a meeting. I said, you know what, guys? I said, I'll admit, you'll always find me. I'm right over here worshiping during service. You know what? I don't always feel like worshiping. Maybe my wife and I had a fight. Maybe I thought about drowning a kid. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on how my day was. So first of all, parents, you understand. I mean, like, if you went in front of a judge, they'd be like, yep, not guilty, I get it. I don't always feel like worshiping, Brother Doug. But I told myself years and years ago that when the music hits the first note, that regardless of how I feel and what I feel inside, I'm still gonna raise my hands and worship. Not every moment or every note that came out of my lips were sincere with the first note. But as I stood and raised my hands, I began to worship. My anger, my bitterness, my frustration begins to dissipate away. And my focus begins to be on the one who reigns supreme. The one who's worthy of all of our praise. I said it earlier. There's two times to praise him. When you feel like it and when you don't. Just two times. We feel like praising him. It's great. It's easy to praise him. But when we don't feel like praising him, that's when the devil's winning. Floyd, you got a lot of stuff going on in life. I got bills to pay. I got this problem. I got coworker problems. God hasn't showed up for me yet. I don't like the waiting game that's going on. I don't know if I'm worthy. I'm just, you know what? We probably all done this. If they sing this song, if they sing this, you know, if they sing Gray Speckled Bird, first of all, no one's shouted down for Gray Speckled Bird. I'll just throw that out right now. Some of you are looking like you don't know what Gray Speckled Bird is. You're welcome. You don't know what it is. Oh, if they just sang Glorious Day. Oh, if they would just, I'll come running out of that grave. Well, Lord, you didn't sing my song today, so evidently I'm content. You're content with me in my contentment. It sounds so dumb when I say it out loud. It sounds so ridiculous. But I'm going to do an honesty moment. If you've had that thought, raise your hand across this building. The rest of you are liars. Tiff, you didn't raise your hand. Liar. Look, we've all had that. If so-and-so will come pray for me, then I'll pray. So-and-so has never prayed for you in their life. And that's going to be the linchpin moment of you having a move of God. The things that we tell ourselves, the things that we justify the level of our worship and our praise, we're waiting for the perfect moment. As long as we're here and breathing, there is no perfect moment. I'll pop that balloon for you right now. There's no perfect sermon. There's no perfect worship set. There's no perfect door greeters. There's no perfect Sunday school teachers. There's no perfect Sunday morning where all the kids get out of bed themselves. They get themselves dressed. They make their own food. They put their own dishes away. And then they're all in the car waiting for you, seat belted and buckled in, and they're ready to go. No, that's not how life works. Why? Because we're imperfect people. So therefore, we can't expect the perfect to dictate what our praise is. It's simple as this. He's worthy to be praised in all times, in high times and in low times. He's worthy to be praised. And as long as I have breath in my lungs, I am going to give him that praise. So can we just for a moment stand across this auditorium? And if you've got breath in your lungs, I'm going to ask you to begin to praise. Not because the music's playing or here or not here, but simply because he's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the glory. It's got to be something that's inside of me. God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through tomorrow, but I know that you're in control. So I give you all of the glory. I give you all of the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has to be, Brother Cook, it has to be a mindset change. Help me. Help me for a second. It has to be a mindset change. It has to be, I'm not waiting. Anytime we step into the building, anytime you're in a car, anytime you're in a prayer closet, you don't have to wait for the Holy Ghost to show up. As long as you're there, the Holy Ghost is there. Yeah. So it has to be a mindset. I'm not waiting for that right note. I'm not waiting for that. I'm going to enter into his courts with praise. I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. As long as the Lord's here, I know that he can show up. As long as the Lord's here, I can leave my troubles at the door. Better yet, I'm going to leave my troubles at the altar, and I'm going to lay him down at his feet. Something happens when you worship and praise. Go with me. I'm weighted down with the problems of the world. Sometimes you can just lift your arms a little bit because you're so heavy and weighted down with the problems. But the more that you worship through your problems, the more that God's strength comes in, and the more that your problems begin to fade away, and you leave your problems at an altar. But it all starts, yeah, it might be uncomfortable for you. It might be a little bit awkward. But you know what? The moment you begin to stretch those praise muscles, and you begin to stretch out and say, oh, I feel this. I feel that. This is the joy of the Holy Ghost. And it feels like a fire shut up in my bones. But I cannot do it for you. I cannot praise for you. I cannot act as a puppet master of a marionette. It has to come from your desire. Your desire to see God step into your situation. And praying and feeling and prepping for this. I just felt like there are people that have not found a place of worship and praise, a place that they desire to be in. But I'm comfortable here. God didn't call you to be comfortable. God called you to be separate from the world. God called you to be a particular people, not one that goes with the flow, but one that stands out. How do we stand out? With our worship and praise. Let's bow our head in Jesus' name. God, I pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and I thank you for your mercy. God, I pray, Lord, that we find a place of praise. God, Lord, that we understand that you change everything. God, that your strength moves upon us in our time of brokenness. But I pray that you pour out upon us, God. Lord, that we worship you for all that we are. God, for every bit of energy that we have, I pray that we give you praise. We thank you for what you're going to do, and we worship your name. In Jesus' name, amen.